I'm reminded of two things as I was praying. Many years ago, Mama and I and our children had gone to Thompson, and we were coming back to Winnipeg, and there's a fall. I think it's called Peace Fall or something like that. I don't remember the name of it now. PC Falls? Yes. And we'd gone there and we were just looking around and walking. And I was about to take a step. There's shrubs all over the place. And if I had taken that next step, I would have stepped into an open space and gone all the way down to my death. My legs were up and I looked down. I didn't know everybody else saw what just happened. They were all quiet. Because if they had screamed, I might have tumbled over. Even in the most beautiful setting, something bad could have happened. I needed the Lord that day. I needed the Lord. Because right at the bottom were rocks and was way down. I had a big bill. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know how much it was. Big fat bill. And we had some funds. It was just put this amount aside. So I moved it to the right spot. And when the accountant tabulated what the bill was, it was the amount that I set apart. I said, God, if you had not directed me, that money would have gone to many other places. But Lord, you said, put this amount aside. And it's exactly what I needed. I needed the Lord that day. Last year I had one hefty one. Oh my, was it ever big? It will almost take what? 6 months at the least, bare minimum, based on what we normally get as income, to take care of that one bill. And the Lord worked it out. And all of that money came all in one block, supernatural by the grace of God. And when it was asked for, there it was. I needed the Lord. And that's why I'm never concerned. I just know God knew about it before I got here. So why am I going to start crying about it? That is to say, God, you did not know. This took us by surprise. No, nothing takes God by surprise. And I want to encourage you today to just relax in the goodness of God, knowing that God is your source. You never know how He's going to have that need met. You never know. Because He's faithful. Altogether faithful. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. He'll do what He needs to do to help you. Amen? Hallelujah. And this leads us to this chapter. In a sense, you know, there are many important chapters in the Word, but something about this chapter strikes me as one of the most important. Matthew 11. It strikes me as most important because it tells us in very real ways what our story is like. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. He made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Oh my. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Jesus. Every command is to be obeyed. Now, we went through chapter 10 together. In chapter 10, he chooses his 12 disciples. He gives to them his words on what they were supposed to do, how they were to approach every community. He tells his disciples that they're going to be persecuted just like he was persecuted. He tells them not to think that he sent peace on the earth, but a sword. He talks to them about the reward of the ones that honor prophets and the righteous man. He tells us that those who honor the prophet, and whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, he says, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple. We spent much time talking about that. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, in all of that, where does this statement come from in chapter 11? Where does that statement come from? Why is it coined that way? And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. Nothing that we've read so far says anything about commanding anything. So why that statement when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, and why that next statement, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities? I'll tell you what is the Lord is saying. He's saying to us that we will never be able to take our cities if we have not first of all become obedient to the commands of God. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me, nothing to attach to. And the key to taking our cities is totally connected to our obedience to the commandments that the Lord has given to us. He says he came to an end. He finished giving his command. Then he went to preach in their cities. He could have said, in their cities or in the cities of of Israel or Judea or what of the Galilee or whatever, but in there is connected to the 12. He goes to the community to which you have obeyed him in his commandments to you. He goes to that community to do his preaching. And when he preaches, results are made manifest. That child of God, in a real way, becomes an indictment to us as ministers. To me, I have said it many a times, that there is something the Lord asked me to do in the GTA many years ago that I've not done yet. I am still going around it and working actively now to start doing that instruction. And when I have done it, then I know that what God said he's going to do in a GTA is going to take place. Now, why haven't I done it? Because I have to prepare for what I am expecting God to do. Jesus came to die on the cross, but he did not die on the first day that he came. He prepped to that time. And then at the fullness of time, he did. And so I do not count that my what I'm doing is an act of disobedience, but an act of preparing to obey. Amen? But this right there is fundamental to that principle. It's fundamental. You want God to deal with particular things in your life, then obey the commands he's given to you so that he can step into your situation. He's not going to step in all kinds of situations. He will step into the situation when he has first of all been able to take a hold of who you are so that you can fulfill your call and destiny. Amen? Step by step by step. Now, it's important that we understand that, because if God does certain things for us, if God blesses you and I before time, it can become a problem. The blessing can become a curse. But that's not what God wants for me, and that's not what God wants for you. God rather wants us to line up with his directives. I am careful, you know, to when I'm reading the Word of God, I'm careful to look at it closely and say, what is this? Why did it say this? Why didn't it say that? Because in those settings, that's where you find out the keys of the kingdom. It is put that way so that you can slow down and think and meditate. Praise the Lord. Now, the Word of God goes on. It says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, that's an interesting question. John the Baptist is the one who baptized him in the Jordan. The heavens were open. He was the one who pointed, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Why is he asking this question now? Why is he saying, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Why? This is the John who said, he must increase and I must decrease. Why the doubt? The doubt is happening because of the circumstance that's taking place in his life. He is imprisoned. He stood for truth. He spoke the truth. And now they want his head. He's imprisoned. He's limited. Can such a thing happen? You do the right thing, you say the right things, you stand for the purposes of God, and then this happens? Absolutely. Jesus just told us in chapter 10, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. You're going to go through rough situations. Does the Lord judge him? No. Rather, the word of God says, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show again. Go and show John again. Go and show John again. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Go and show John again. Yeah. Oh, so John had been going through this not just one time. This is not a one-time thing. Go ask him, are you the real deal? Why am I still here in prison? If you're the real deal, shouldn't I be out of here? And God says, listen, this is not about you. This is not about you. This is about others. But Jesus, I'm a nice guy. Because we're family. What are you doing, man? Disappointment. The pain of being disappointed. When you're expecting one thing from God, and what you are reaping is something else. And what God says, last verse. Give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. There's a reward, and you're not going to lose it. Many times we think that the reward is only what we receive here in the earth. And there's a place for that. You shall, if you left father, mother, brother, sister, lands, or whatever, you're going to get all of this stuff back in this lifetime with persecution, he said. With persecution. So there are times when we're going through stuff and we can be discouraged. Because what we are receiving or what we are experiencing is not lining up with what we were expecting. And God says to us here in John 11, don't just dwell on yourself. Look at the bigger picture. Well, Lord, I don't understand the bigger picture. I could still be baptizing people over there and pointing them to you. I don't understand this bigger picture. What is this bigger picture? Is there a place for that? Yeah. It's a place where things don't make any sense at all. And you have to then rely on the fact that God is still in control, that God knows what he's doing when you don't, and there's no pretending about it. There's no wearing no mask here. Are you the one, or should I be expecting somebody else? That's a mask off. I'm in pain here. Hello. I've been serving you all my life, giving you everything I know, going out into the wilderness, eating what, I don't know what this is. I didn't wear no Armani. And this is what I get. Funny. I remember many years ago, still preaching the prosperity of God. God prospers his children. I've never left that message. But I had no car. I was driving around this city, the church van. You guys remember this? Did it take one thing off of me? No, I'm driving my church van. Do you believe God prospers? Hallelujah. So how come you don't have your own car? I don't know. But I have this one. And this is taking me from point A to point B. Thank God I didn't have my own car, because there was one trip I took, Mom and I, from Thief River Falls, I think it's called. I think that was maybe the last time when Thief River Falls. And we'd come back from a long journey, got home, got into the van, and drove to a meeting in Thief River Falls. And ministered there, but we wanted to be back here for Sunday service, because we'd missed two or so services, Sunday weekend services. And Thief River Falls was about 3-4 hours away, something like that. And we got on the highway with this big van. And it started snowing really bad. If we had a car, we would have been stuck. But here we were with bazooka or bulldozer of a van, and we were plowing through all the snow drifts and just halfway through, Mama holds her, screams, holds her head. Is this how people die? She said. What are you talking about? She said, something just happened. We got home, parked right in front, dashed up to just make sure that we're okay. And while we're there, the phone rings, and she doesn't like answering phone calls, but she picks up the phone call. It was one of our church members' son. One of our church members had called about her son that had backslidden, had gotten himself involved with some people, ingested some drug, I think it was ecstasy, and blew his brains. He was brain dead. So we said, we're going to come to the hospital, hang in there, let's finish the service. We finished the service and we went and we ministered and so on. Long story short, God raised that young man back to life. We would have been way over there, not gotten that call. That child would have died. But thank God, we didn't have a car. We had the bulldozer van. God knows everything. That's what I'm trying to say. He knows why things happen the way they happen. And he has made all the calculations. Gone through the matrix of the things, the algorithms of the situation, and come up with a clear-cut decision on how to checkmate the enemy. And so when you know that you're going through something, you just relax. God knows what he's doing. I may not know, but God knows. And that's what he comforts John with. He says to John, first of all, he says, go tell him again. But this time he doesn't say tell, he says show. That's an interesting statement. Show John again those things which you do hear and see. Well, they didn't have video cameras. No Facebook, no Instagram, no YouTube, no Facebook. How are they going to show? How How are you going to show anybody? Now, the way he's going to have them show is by anointing them, gracing them with his ability, so that when they get to John, they will demonstrate the power of God. That's how, this is what we heard him say, this is what we heard him doing, this is what we saw, and this is how he did it. Hey, you crippled guy, come here. Be healed. Boom. See? That's exactly what he did. May God grace us with the ability to demonstrate the power of God, so that those that are doubting will cease doubting and respond to the integrity of the word of God. Amen? He says, go and show John, show him again those things which you do hear and do see. You do hear it, you do see it. You heard about it, you saw it, now show it. Amen? The blind receive their sight. The lame, they walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Wait. Come on. No, that does not belong there. I can understand blind seeing, lame walking, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, dead raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. What? So that they can just accept their poverty? No, because the key factor is this. Everyone there had a problem, and the problem was solved. And so what he's saying is that the poor had been preached to, and now they are no longer poor. That's the point. I cannot be poor when God has declared his word over my life. First key factor, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to what? The poor. First factor. Some people may be very upset to hear this, but I could care less. First factor of proof that I'm saved is that poverty leaves my life. But we don't believe it, so we stay poor. But this should be one of the first key factors. I was poor, and now I'm rich. Why? Wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. I was once poor, but now I am rich. I was once blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once poor, but now I am rich. That is the gospel. We didn't make that up. It's right there in the word. I must refuse the spirit of poverty. As a believer, I'm a child of God. I cannot be poor. That must ring deep within my spirit. I can never be poor. I refuse poverty. I refuse poverty. That is not part of my spiritual DNA. I cannot be poor. I can lack nothing. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. I shall not what? Want. I shall lack nothing. This is something that we must take a hold of. How I become rich is not based on my hard work, but my blessed work, my blessed life. That whatever it is that I lay my hands to do prospers. But that reality will not be manifested in my life or your life if we don't believe the Word of God and say, this is what the Word of God says. I believe it, I receive it, I know it to be true in my life, therefore I shall not have a poverty mentality, but the mentality of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Streets, the New Jerusalem, streets of gold, has 12 layers in the foundation of precious stones. Pearly gates, not little things that ants can crawl through. Can you imagine? Is that a God that is poor? No. Last week, I don't know if I told you this. Last Sunday, I think it was, I was driving, coming to church, and the Lord said to me, say you're richer than the world. That shocked me. I said, what are you talking about? How can I be richer than the world? Say that you're richer than the world. I said, I know that your word says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? So I have more value than the whole world. What? You are richer than the whole world. I said, how can I be richer than the whole world? Okay, so if I'm richer than the whole world, then I must have the world plus. That's what I'm thinking. He says, yes. Think that way. Now, if you don't have a mark to shoot at, then whatever it is that you are doing, no matter how right you think you are, you'll never be truly close to that mark. You'll never really get to the place that you need to get to without God's ability in you changing your thinking. And the changing of my thinking, the changing of your thinking, can elevate you from one level to another. But if you don't know that you can, you won't. So thinking that I'm richer than the whole world can move me from being a person who only handles $100 to somebody who can handle $1,000, to somebody who can handle $100,000, to somebody who can handle $1,000,000, to somebody who can handle $1,000,000,000. I know something is changing in me. I know that already. I know that already. You say, how do you know that? Because when I see the number million, million doesn't look like any money to me. Doesn't look like a million. Now, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, $1,000,000, that's, oh my God. Now, I've seen $1,000,000 too many times, and I've seen the word billion too many times to think that it is something. It's changing. Something's changing in there supernaturally, so that one day when I step into that arena, it's like, okay, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But this is not it. There is more in God than stuff. Amen. Until stuff become just that, And that's exactly what God was trying to say to me. You're richer than the whole world. Then there's nothing in the world that becomes so, oh, it's so big. Nothing is so big anymore. That's all he's trying to do. He's not trying to tell me that, you know, I have all the gold and all the silver. If I have all of it, what do you have? that I have it and you don't have it because I got everything. So the idea is not about that. It's about seeing that all these things are just things. It's just things. You're more important than all this. It's all yours. Amen? May God transform us in our thinking. And part of that is breaking us free from a poverty mentality. And then he says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And this is the harshest words that the Lord could have used in relationship to John. John, you want to stay in the blessing? Then don't be offended in me. Take no offense. And so many believers, many times, take offense. This is not happening this way, and that's not happening this way, and this is not happening this way, and this person is ahead of me, and I should be here, and that this person is this, and so on and so forth. And we can gripe, and I've been there, done that, worn that T-shirt until it was ripped. It doesn't work. Really doesn't, you know, it really doesn't do any good getting offended with God. He can handle it, but can you handle the consequence of it? You want to stay in the blessing? Don't be offended with him. Just rest in him and recognize that he knows what he's doing. God, I don't know what you're doing, but you definitely know what you're doing. So, I place my life totally in total surrender under your care. I'm not running this life, you're running it. I don't know what you're doing, but you were here before me. You've been through all the ages. You've seen all kinds of people, seen everything. Psst, how old am I? So you know. So I'm trusting you. I'm just going to trust you. God, I have to marry John. John, oh, it's got to be John. He's so cute. God says, not John. No, it's got to be John. No, it's got to be Mary. Oh, it's got to be whoever. God says, no, none of the above. But if I don't, this, oh God, my time clock is running out. Oh, mm-mm. God knows what to do. Amen? God knows exactly what to do. I have a dear daughter in the Lord. You know, all her family members were all married and having children. She didn't have one. She didn't have a husband. But she'd been listening to the word consistently. So I'm going to keep myself pure before the Lord. Finally, she found a man who found her. And she came and presented him to us. She had her parents, but this If my spiritual father and mother say, good, then this is going to be it. And he presented this young man. Nothing was going off. He said, wrong, wrong, wrong. This one you want? Yes. Okay. We bless you in Jesus' name. Today, they are well ahead of those that were ahead of them. By every scale, because of their obedience, their testimony, God just... And God has more for them. So rushing does not solve any problem. Doesn't. I was looking at the life of Abraham the other day. All these years, no children. Finally, Hagar and Ishmael, and that was the end of that. And Sarah had Isaac. And then that's the seed of promise. And then he marries Keturah, and here comes all these sons and daughters. Look at that. Just look at this. All this year is nothing. And now, bing, 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 bing. Huh. Amazing. You are not running your life based on any other person's timetable. Their time clock, their timetable, that's theirs. God has a special time and season for you. You line up with God's time and season, and one day, Peter is preaching. Watch this. Jesus has all these thousands of people, preaches one message, they all take off on him. And he says, what are you guys still doing here? Why aren't you gone? Oh, where are we going? You have the words of life. Say, if I had not chosen you, but one of you is the devil. On the day he died, the 11, whoop, he's left with John. Even the one that he said, you're going to be fundamental in building of the church, that one is already denying him. Talk about failure. This is the epitome of it. So it looked. But God saw everything. I prayed for you, Peter. You're not going to mess up. When you strengthen, you strengthen your brothers, says. And here's John. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold. He dies. None of them believe that he's raised up from the dead. Come on. After all that investment, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't lose control of the situation. He knew that he was going to be the one who builds his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And one message from the chief denier, I don't know him. I swear I don't know him. One message on the day of Pentecost. Bang. Thousands. In one day, thousands. Can God do that? Absolutely. If he established a nation in one day that had been scattered all over the world, there are Jews in Ethiopia. There are Jews in Nigeria. It is quite possible that Mama is Jewish. I don't know about me, but... because her grandfather worshipped God like the Jews. had the holy place and the holy of holies, and had a cord tied to him when he goes to worship in the holy of holies, so that if he drops dead in the holy of holies, they will drag him out. All of his children were named Jewish names in Nigeria. So, this God that we serve, we cannot afford to be offended in him. Amen? We cannot be offended in him. You just rest and say, God, you're an awesome God. You're a good God. You are my helper. You are my peace. You are everything that I need. And God will show himself strong. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, that's where we're going to end today. And we'll continue with our studies in the days to come. On Friday, we'll be here for the prayer meeting. And then on Sunday, we'll go deep into the word of the Lord again. Next Wednesday, we'll continue with what we have been sharing. We bless you. We continue to ask you to support this work of the Lord as the Lord directs you. Continue to pray with us and for us as we pray with and for you. And may the blessings of God abound towards us all. If you do not have the Glory and Peace app, please download it on your iOS or Android phones or devices. And there you will be able to link with us, and you'll be able to listen to archived messages and just drink from the Word of God and be transformed by the words that we bring to you through these platforms. God bless you and be highly favored of the Lord all of your days, you and your children and your children's children. May your businesses prosper, and may you continue to flourish in God's goodness in every way possible. God bless you. Good night.